Geachte luisteraars, binnen en buiten het Koninkrijk der Nederlanden. Onze vorstin...
Radio Oranje was a Dutch radio program in World War II. It was broadcast on the BBC European Service to the Netherlands during the occupation by the Germans. The Stem van Strijdend Nederland, the voice of fighting Netherlands, was first broadcast on 28th of July 1940.
Wij hebben deze uitzending Radio Oranje genoemd.
Dial Nits, a podcast about the Dutch band Nits. A celebration of five decades of sophisticated music from the Netherlands. Your host, Erik Fekon.
May 10th, 1940, German troops cross the Albert Canal north of Maastricht.
In 1940, on May 10th, the German army attacked the Netherlands. Fighting ended after a couple of days. The Netherlands became part of the territories occupied by Germany, an occupation that lasted until the 4th of May of 1945.
After scarcely 5 days of battle.
Obviously, the Second World War was the major shock in Dutch history. The 19th century, the Netherlands were not, apart from their colonial wars, and they had been fighting colonial wars throughout the 19th and early 20th century, but apart from those colonial wars, European life for the Dutch was tranquil. It was non-violent. They were at peace with themselves, with their neighbors, with the world. They were doing business with everybody. The Second World War to this day stands as the moment in modern Dutch history. And there's scores and scores of films and novels, documentaries, scientific research, no end. And the Dutch see themselves as the victims of the Germans. Indeed, the Second World War was a tragedy, it was a trauma. And the Dutch have been sort of antagonistic towards the Germans ever since.
Gert Bulens, professor of modern Dutch literature at the University of Utrecht. Fast forward to 1974. On July 7th, the Dutch football team loses the final game of the World Championship to the Germans, despite leading after 2 minutes, despite everyone rooting for them.
'74 is interesting in itself as well, of course, because 1974 is not only the year the Nits were formed, it's also the year the Dutch lost the World Cup final to the Germans. And that still stands as a national trauma. That is also being written about in books and with documentaries, because that should have been the moment of revenge. They had Johan Cruyff, they had the best team in the world, they were going to win, and then they lost. And of course, I'm not going to compare a football match to the horrors of the Second World War, but the fact that they are linked in Dutch discourse about it is interesting in itself.
1974 is the year that the Nits were formed and also the title of an album from 2013. In an interview from then on Dutch radio, Henk Hofstede is asked what else he remembers about that particular year.
Herinneringen van dat jaar.
Van dat jaar, ja, men begint meteen al over voetbal natuurlijk. Een verloren wereldkampioenschap, bijvoorbeeld, om het meteen maar iets heel ergs te noemen.
Hakte dat er bij jullie ook in?
Ik weet nog wel dat ik nog in de huiskamer zat.
Henk remembers watching the final game with his parents. It was a drama, he says.
Drama, ja.
The generation of the Nits still casts a wary look over the eastern border. Young Dutch people know the war stories of their parents and grandparents, about the angst that they felt during the occupation. But there is also the tantalizing Germany of the 70s. A motorbike from Kreidler, the Telefunken radio in Grandma's house, the synthesizers of Kraftwerk, German cars on the Autobahn, the motoric beats of Neu and the wild sounds of Cannes on your record player. Even those German football players look groovy. Günter Netzer with his long blonde hair or Paul Breitner with his afro. Angst is an album about the Netherlands and Germany, about the Second World War, about the seductive power of technology, Vorsprung durch Technik, yellow socks and synthesizers, radios in exile. About Saturday night shows with Rudi Carrel, a Dutch TV personality with a successful career in Germany.
So. Oh ja, deze show wird heute in drei Länder gesendet. Drei Länder. In Deutschland, in Holland und in Niemandsland.
It was also the moment that my mother was in an old people's home. And one memory was disappearing and the other came clearer. So she started talking a lot more about, in this case, about the war. Also about the past. And strangely enough, I found this connection, what we were doing at the same time in the studio. And I really didn't know when we started. I really didn't know. But I just fell into it. And then I thought, whoa, it could be... Yeah, maybe I have to write it down and try to make songs of it or lyrics. That's what I did. I can remember just sitting there in Jisp in the little country house, the little shed in Waterland, just writing simply what my mother said. And then it was Nishimo, and it was about the cow. There's always a story about the cow that they slaughtered in the night. And everybody was eating. But it was really true. It was true stories.
I'm alone in a field. It's a night of rain. When darkness falls, I'm a cow. I'm a cow with splay. Everybody is hungry. The last winter of the war. They are looking at me. I'm a piece of meat. I'm a cow's plea. Snow is falling, it is freezing cold. My skin is covered with ice, like I'm already on a freezer. Everybody is looking at me.
ring a bell with the two of you, those lyrics from the stories of
your
parents?
We're all from the same generation.
Exactly.
So, yeah, of course, my grandparents were really involved in the experience of the Second World War. My grandfather helped a lot of people. My mother, of course, and my father were raised in these difficult times. And when we were born, my sister and myself, all the time, all these stories were always told at birthday parties or at the dinner table, or it was it's always apparent, and everybody of my age has exactly the same experience. Their parents and their grandparents, they had a hard time. And of course, everybody survived, but there was always a little thing going on there. The early or the late 50s, of course, the sort of bad feelings about German people were still very apparent in our families, and gradually changed, for instance, because the football team in which my father was playing invited a Dutch team to come over to Amsterdam to play a friendly match. So that
a German team. They invited the German team.
A German team, exactly. Yeah, thank you. And so that changed a lot, of course, because we were housing a German man, and I was thinking he must be a devil. He must be. The imagination of a young guy, a young boy, is very vivid. And then all of a sudden, this very friendly, huge man comes in, and he's so nice. And of course, that's really good. So, and disrespect your lyrics, of course. We're very clear to me.
Yeah. My family, my father had a sort of business massage. And gymnastics and everything. And he had lots of Jewish clients. So his whole business collapsed. But I was quite surprised when Henk came with the lyrics, because they didn't bring me to the wars. The songs and everything.
No.
It was a complete surprise to me. I had to sort of swallow it. Like, oh wow. Well, why not?
For me, the same. I was suddenly confronted with this. Write about it at that moment.
Yeah.
And at the same time, making this music that is coming from maybe a totally different world.
Yeah.
But it can connect.
Yeah.
It can.
Yeah.
It's possible to connect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's sometimes very difficult, because you have to go through a wall. Yeah. You have to. It's that's why the Lisa Mo song is so great, because it's all about going through this wall. The sounds and the danger and that's the perfect illustration of the theme.
The theme
is not maybe not a real war, the war that we now are confronting in Ukraine. But it's the dangers, the dark dangers around you when you are living a normal non-soldier life, the life of a citizen, families, and
to me there was more than that. And Rob mentioned something about the bad feelings of Dutch people towards German people, and it's like the feelings of the next generation after that, and the confrontation with the 70s when we all grew up. And all of a sudden you have Kraftwerk, you have your motorbikes, and all that comes from Germany. So there's like a change of perspective in how you see reality with your neighbors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. True.
And also including synthesizers.
Well, that's why the album ends with synthesizers, with the river, with the Rhine, and the synthesizers, and the cities named after synthesizers. And here we go, Oberheim.
For the album Angst and for the following two albums, the three musicians find a new approach. The songs are not composed as such, they are the results of days of improvisations.
Into my heart, into
how did you come to this working process? I mean, why?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I told you, I think we lots of time, we improvised.
That's already in the whole career.
Yeah, we left the stage of you had to bring ideas or a song or... Mm.
Also, in the older days, if I might call it that way, we had the habit of recording little minutes. Then we would say, we're going to do 5-minute pieces, and then it's very easy. We count it down. No talks about anything. And then Paul just pushed the button and looked at the clock and after 60 seconds, he would just stop it. And then we had, in this minute... Yeah. Made a SoundCloud and it was always very interesting because from there on some things just emerged. So, and that's also a way of digging into your, you could almost say, subconscious, because then if you don't have the time to think about what you're going to play in the moment, hij zegt, hij loopt, then you have to play.
Do it.
Yeah, but you leave behind the stage of writing songs and coming with those songs to the studio, and then let's rehearse them.
Of course, that also happened in the past. Of course, in a very traditional way, we worked on songs and pieces of songs. But this gave us the most freedom, and I think it's also the most democratic way of playing. Because everybody can play. Yeah. It's not like I've got a brilliant idea. Yeah. And now I'm going to tell you. It can work, of course. It did. But in this case, it's adventurous for everybody.
Yeah.
And it pushes you somewhere else. And that's why those albums are so interesting and strange and sometimes difficult.
Was that a plan from the beginning that we're gonna use what we produce then as an improvisation, or was it just open-ended discussion?
It was the only thing that happened.
It was also because we liked it so much.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We liked the sounds that we produced, or the roads that we walked on.
Yeah. Maybe in the beginning of Angst, maybe I had somewhere in the back of my mind the idea we would make improvisations. And if he would find an interesting piece, we would redo it. But in the process, I probably realized that was not interesting anymore for us to in the old way. You know, this is a nice part. Let's play it again and try to build
and make it better.
And maybe it had to do with I don't know if it was the first time, but that we recorded everything that we did on separate tracks.
Yeah, multi-tracked.
In the past, we did a lot of improvisations, and then it was only 2-track. So it was like making a sketch the drawing that you're going, or the painting that you're going to do later. But now we already had the material separate sometimes, and some separate channels were already amazing in color and in playing. So let's just put them together. Let's glue them.
Yeah.
Let's shake them up and rearrange them in the machine, in the computer.
Yeah.
And how many such sessions did you have?
A few days, mostly.
Yeah, it's
4 days, think, 3 days, think, 5 days,
three or four days.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Angst was 3. Because I wrote a little text about it.
I have it in my books. I always have the date, and then the things that we did. I mean,
let's say we had some 20 hours of takes all together.
Sometimes there are parts in it you can throw away.
Yeah.
But you better not. Because you never know. Because there were moments
strange ways.
We thought that this is ridiculous. This is for no one's ears, except for ours. And then in the end, during the whole working process, it keeps coming back. And the impossible one.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the impossible one is
the
could
easy
be a
one.
Treasure.
Yeah.
Could be a direction that you need. So yeah, you never know.
Sometimes it was like you were amazed, we were like, this is a song. I remember that Radio Orange was, for me, when we listened back, it was like, wow. Almost couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But also the last one, that's one take.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's one take. Yeah. Sundap. Because I remember very well playing this strange pattern.
Yeah.
I just wanted to play a strange pattern. And you two just went on like you did. And
while it happens, don't you think of the moment, well, this could be something, and then you just go on with it for as long? No?
There are moments when I listen to what we are playing and I like it, and then I try to stay disciplined and don't change.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think this sounds really nice and has a good feel.
Yeah.
I'm very careful not to change, but at a certain moment, I think, well, now it's time to change.
Is there also a bit of, you know, like uncertainty involved in the whole thing? Or are
you? Of course.
That's the key word.
All the time.
That's the key word.
all the time.
That's the
tools you work with.
The most important thing, maybe.
Yeah, because I'm, as you know, I'm not singing prepared lyrics. I just improvise along with the music, with my words. Most of the time, the vocals are redone, but the main melody stays, and the way words are found and pronounced also stay, but I rewrite it. I give it a certain meaning, hopefully. I changed it, but I'm very, very
cautious, careful.
How I improvise,
because so. It could give an image and you don't want to give that or
a sound
become too concrete,
okay,
yeah. Or a timing
and the way I'm singing it is, it goes so well with what we are playing. I'm very, very cautious. I'm very careful with what's there, and also when I'm talking about words and I write down like I think Yellow Socks was one of the things. I don't know why I who the hell is singing Yellow Socks, but that for me was a starting point of the song.
And that was there and during the improvisation already.
That, as I remember, I was already singing Yellow
Socks.
That's
what we hear, and gives also direction to us.
But it's the same as with music, of course, but it's words. And then I sometimes write it down, what I've been improvising. And there's a possibility that the lyrics inside somewhere.
And I think the situation is like optimal, like without a bass player, because when you have a bass player, you have a fourth person who decides what the harmonics are or what the chords are. And even without a guitar, it gives more freedom.
Yeah.
And like we all have our own responsibility. Like rhythm and sounds and vocals and sounds and I do some more of the middle part, you know, like the harmony. So when we all change, that there's a good chance that we might change into something which is comfortable for the ear.
I seldom play guitar in those takes. I chose the dulcimer for strings because it's more open. It's more it's not a chord thing. It's not not like okay, hey, House of Rising Sun. Here we go. No, it's never in the structure of a rock guitar song. That's impossible.
Yeah. And that gives you lots of freedom. I can always choose to make something minor or major.
when I started off with the Angsty Corners, I made a decision that I would use, like I call the prepared drum set, which is, you know, of course, from John Cage's prepared piano phrase. But so I most of the songs, this set was covered with stuff. So I don't hit the drums like they are, but there is always something lying on the drum heads, or even the bass drum, or the hi hat, or the cymbals with the cloth on. So that was a very deliberate decision, because I wanted to avoid, like you say, the bass player problem, that you always go in the same direction. Then that's why I chose this approach.
Lishamo worked, because we slowly built it up. When we started, there was almost nothing. And I just said, I want to record my voice doing these voices. And we speeded it up. For me, that was also a start for the song. It was also connected to the lyrics, to the two separate rooms and the dangerous atmosphere of hearing your neighbors. In this case, it is the Jewish boy and the Nazis that's living in almost the same house. And then I thought it should be two stories. It should be the story from the Jewish boy and the story from the neighbors, the German orientated, the Nazis. So we both are let's say, almost actors in just to tell the story. Then there were these posters. On the good side, you had the American poster with the Coca-Cola, and the other one with the Fanta, Erfrischt.
When Hank came with that, it really surprised me. I didn't know about that.
I didn't know about it too. I found it in reading that there was this poster with the Führer, Fanta Erfrischt.
On the wall. Poster of the Führer, Fanta Frischt.
On the wall, a poster of a U.S. soldier. All I want is a comb.
For out of my black shirt, of my uniform. SS on the sleeves, new buttons, a swastika on my black shirt.
And then comes an important, a crucial step. The musicians have to take these songs out on tour.
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
Now we get to the difficult part.
until
we have to rehearse.
Now you have to rehearse what you didn't rehearse before.
That's exactly, in a nutshell, what the problem is.
And well, for me, it's also like finding back the sounds. I don't want to administrate like because there's no time for it, because then something else has started already.
But that's the thing that you mentioned before, that you play something and you think it, oh, this is nice, and now comes a moment when you're not improvising it, you know, like it's translating this on stage. Did you find that difficult to?
Well, you can lose the sounds. Like Robert Johnson, it's difficult to find them back, especially when you have a complicated instrument where there are 10 millions of sounds. Yeah. I mean, it's easier when you have a dulcimer.
Why does it have to be like that? Does it have to be like the album or?
Well, in some cases, yes.
Sounds are quite important.
That's a starting point, I think. That's really important.
Yeah.
But I think that you started to make photographs of your setup.
Yeah.
You have to do it all the time.
I write down.
It helps. It helps you to I'm having this symbol there. I'm having, because but otherwise you.
Many times I had to go upstairs after having done all the recordings. I had to go upstairs to Paul to find out what was on the drum tracks, in order to find out which sort of sticks, which sort of whatever I used, and how did I do it? How, with the two hands and the two feet? Sometimes it's really very strange, but the most difficult thing I always think is that in this process of improvising, you create a certain atmosphere, and the moment you start rehearsing it, you're far away from that atmosphere, and that's the most difficult thing, because the sounds are there and the structure is there, but and then we start playing it and we think that's not what we want to hear.
So how do you do? How do you conjure up?
Try again.
Yeah, do it again and again.
Yeah, and change many little things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Na een pauze in hun tour gaan ze vanaf 3 maart weer het hele land door. Met het nummer Radio Orange zijn hier Henk Hofstede, Rob Kloet en Robert-Jan Stips, ofwel De Nits.
My brother and sister, they walk back for hours to our house without a map. Under the table hide themselves.
Ook zijn te blijven vertrouwen in de eindoverwinning van onze zaak, die niet alleen sterk staat door de kracht van wapenen, maar niet minder door het besef dat het gaat om onze heiligste goederen. Ik heb gezegd.
My mother had a headache. On the 4th of May, after 5 years of darkness, there's light on Liberation Day. When this white bread is falling from the sky, and the people were singing and dancing in the street. She was in bed all day, under the sheets. Too much light, after years of darkness. Too much light, after years of darkness, too much light. After years of darkness, 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 darkness.